So what I'm going to talk today about today is based on this work by John McCransky, who is actually a professor of Buddhist studies at Boston College.
No kidding.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Right here, town. And I'll talk a little bit how I came to this, but...
Maybe he'll come on Monday.
What? Maybe he'll come on Monday. I don't know. So he has a whole website, which is at johnmccransky.org. I'll post all this information. This book is available through the Minuteman Library System if you wanted to just check it out and see it. There's also a separate CD of guided meditations from here that you can check out from the library. And it's also available from the publisher, who's Local Wisdom Publications. So I'll post all that. He's doing an upcoming workshop in Newton Center at the same place that Kilo Rinpoche's talk is on Saturday, April 14th from 9:30 to 12:30. And then I think it's the same workshop again in the fall on October 27th. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing a week-long retreat at Wonderwell Mountain Refuge late June this year, and then a weekend retreat in December.
So also at Wonderwell?
Also at Wonderwell. Mm-hmm. And the recording we're going to listen to in a little bit is from an audiobook by Pema Chodron, Awakening Love. So she like dropped the middle word here for some reason, mm-hmm. then she felt like she didn't. But she credits, she says it's really, she's doing, if you've read or if you look at the meditations, she actually is reading them. Uh-huh. Almost as they're in the book. And she credits him. I mean, she doesn't say, I made this up. She says, this is what he teaches, this is what I'm teaching, what he teaches. So that she's not trying to, like, steal his work and then pretend like she knows everything. So anyway, so, no, but I mean, she's, you know, and I'm trying to be very honest that
maybe
I'm just...
stealing her work.
She's pretty, no, I think he's you know...
She's on the up and up.
So what happened to me, how I came to this... There's, I think it's causes and conditions. Mm-hmm. So the causes are that last fall I was really working with, I have, my friend's daughter died 28 years ago this week, and I've struggled with sort of dealing with that whole thing. She mm-hmm. was hit by a car and killed, so it was like mm-hmm. this. She was there and then she was not there. Mm-hmm. And
how
spent
old
was she was a... She was a little over eight when she died. And just a lot of struggles around dealing with that, and a lot of just very hardened heart around how hard that had been for me. And that just, like, I shut down around it a lot. And I was sort of trying to work with it a little. And I was at the weekend retreat up at Wonderwell, and it was mostly just, you know, short little guided meditation and sitting. And then Sunday morning, Lama Willa and some other people did some talks and teaching. And as we sat after the teaching, I had this, like, incredible experience of suddenly, like, recognizing that this little girl had given me this very strong unconditional love, and just feeling it, like something about the space, about the experience, brought that up for me. Just that awareness of, like, oh, that had been, like, this great gift, that it wasn't... For me, it had been many years of just, I was sad because this girl was dead. And that's all I had going for me about it. That's all I had. That's all I can think about. And this was suddenly this experience of, oh, there was this wonderful gift she gave me that I haven't looked at in years. Like, to have... Because I was kind of like an aunt to her, and they lived in Chicago, so, you know, she was excited when I called, or if I sent her something in the way, if you have nieces and nephews that like you, that they're just like, oh, you're so great. Like, your own children are never like that excited about you. But it was that kind of feeling, and it was just that sudden awareness of, like, wow, this unconditional love that I'd had that just overwhelmed me in that moment. And, you know, I sort of, okay, that was really interesting. And then I think one day I was in Watertown, and I went in the library, and I wanted to get some CDs to list, some books on CD to listen to in the car. And I check out, you know, I'm looking through. Oh, here's one by Pema Chodron I haven't listened to. And it was the recordings of these guided meditations that are about sensing people who sent you unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness, like that was just this random condition. I happened, you know, to wander in, and that happened to be on the shelf, and I happened to find it and say, oh, this might be interesting. And it just was very powerful. So it's just like, you know, who knows how that comes about, but it came about. And so I shared it with Erica, the recording. I said, oh, you should come teach on it. So that's what brought me to this room. That's my story. Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about benefactors, but Emily agreed that she would read the poem. Do you want to read from the book or from the printout?
Well, I can read from the printout. At the Corner Store, a poem by Alison Luderman. It was a new old man behind the counter, skinny, brown, and eager. He greeted me like a long-lost daughter, as if we both came from the same world, someplace warmer and more gracious than this cold city. I was thirsty and alone, sick at heart, grief-soiled, and his face lit up as if I were his prodigal daughter, returning. Coming back to the freezer bins in front of the register, which were still and always filled with the same old cable car ice cream sandwiches and cheap frozen greens, back to the knobs of beef and packages of hot dogs, these familiar shelves strung with potato chips and corn chips, stacked up beer boxes and an immortal Jim Beam. I lumbered to the case and bought my precious bottled water, and he returned my change, beaming, as if I were the bright new buds on the just bursting open cherry trees, as if I were everything beautiful struggling to grow. And he was blessing me as he handed me my dime. Over the dirty counter and the plastic tub of red licorice whip. This old man who didn't speak English beamed out love to me in the iron week after my mother's death, so that when I emerged from his store, my whole cockeyed life, what a beautiful failure, glowed gold like a sunset after rain. Frustrated city dogs were yelping in their yards, mad with passion behind their chain-link fences, and in the driveway of a peeling paint house, a woman and a girl danced to contagious reggae. Praise Allah, Jah, the Buddha, Kuan Yin, Jesus, Mary, and even jealous old Jehovah. For eyes, hands of the divine everywhere.
So McCransky said he included that just because he thought of that, you know, this idea of people who send you unconditional love. It can be people you know, people who you deeply care about, but it can just be there are people who you interact with. You know, you go to the store, and someone who's just really just has that sort of this wonderful presence. And he sort of shares that idea that the idea of the practice is you want to think of people who are benefactors. And they're people who send you unconditional love. And they can be people who are very important in your life, or they can be people who are very tangential. You know, someone who was your camp counselor for a week one year when you were a kid, who just was really nice and upbeat and made you feel special. You know, anyone who you got that feeling from. And Erica pointed out to me that, you know, there are people who grow up and have, the primary caregivers don't feel like those people, mm-hmm. that are not the people you feel like, oh, they always love me unconditionally. You're like, oh, they're always on my case, or whatever it was that didn't make that feel that way, that it's hard to see that. But to think of people, you know, even friends you have, you know, just to have been just those kind of really kind, accepting, I love you, however you are, people. And so for the practice, you want to sort of think of a few people. You know, so for me, for instance, my friend's daughter was one. If really hard up, the other people I thought of is the teachers from this group, mm-hmm. who show up and share with us, mm-hmm. in a way that's just very open. Like, here's...
You don't have to be hard up for that.
No, but I'm saying, if you can't think of people, that those are, like, one week I was doing the practice myself, and I was like, sitting, and Emily and Mike, I was sitting up front, and Emily and Mike over there, and it was just very powerful. It was like, oh, these are people who've done this wonderful thing. They come and teach us the Dharma week after week. That's, how much more loving could you be, mm-hmm. than to do that? And, you know, he talks about in the book, can I, you gave me back. Okay. Sort of thinking about that. So we'll do a little practice in a minute. But just, you know, to sort of, and I've been doing this, and he says, as you do it, you'll people will come to you. And it's sort of interesting, because people will come back to you from your past that you're like, mm-hmm. oh, right, that person was like, I remember, you know, when I was 25 and I was living here, I had a neighbor who was really nice. And would just, you know, I'd walk, come home, and they'd be like, oh, we're all having a snack, come and have whatever it was with us. You know, whatever. Just mm-hmm. thinking of, like, that of the different places people have sent you. Sort of that kind of just like, here you are, I'm so happy to see you, I wish you well. So we're going to do a little exercise, so just sit and listen. So it's important to be mindful that benefactors need not be infallible or perfect people. Just allow yourself to become newly aware of moments when someone's unreserved love came to you through a kind word, a gesture, a smile, or a comforting presence. It could be someone well known to you or a seeming stranger like the store clerk. Try to recall someone like that from your childhood right now. Envision his or her smiling presence before you. Recall how good it felt to be near that person. That is what it is like to receive love. Hold that person in mind for a little while, communing with him or her in the simple goodness of their wish of love for you, the wish for your happiness and joy. Take a little time just to relax and receive that wish from him or her now, right now. When you feel ready, try to think of a few other persons you adored to be near as a child. An uncle or an aunt, perhaps. A school teacher that you loved to be with. A friend of your parents whom you looked forward to seeing. He says, when I began to do this exercise, my second grade teacher suddenly appeared in my mind's eye. Mrs. Kirchner, whom I liked so much that I accidentally called her Mom at school. So that is why I like to be near her, I realized. She wasn't just teaching, she was expressing her love for her students through her teaching. Another time, two close friends of my parents came suddenly to mind. Ted and Yvonne, with their smiling faces, radiating kindness to me as a small child. Then there was my Uncle Morton, who expressed his love with silly jokes and by snitching some of my French fries when I wasn't looking. while making sure I would catch him in the act. When you have thought of a few such benefactors in your life, imagine them before you, one by one, or all together. Mentally hold the smiling faces of those benefactors before you. Then relax and just accept the simple goodness of their wish for your well-being and happiness, their wish of love for you. So right now, just accept, receive, and enjoy the power of their wish. There is nothing more important to do. So in the practice we're going to listen to, she talks about benefactors. And she also talks about the idea of spiritual benefactors. So these can be not necessarily even teachers you've met. They could be people whose work you've read. They could be teachers you've seen. So for me, I've been thinking of Anam Thubten, because he has that wonderful way when he talks that I noticed, like, the second time I went, where he, like, looks around, and then he, like, looks at you, and you're like, your heart, oh, just like him looking you in the face is like this amazing feeling, just that sense. So that, someone, whether it's someone you've gone and seen, someone you've listened to, someone who you've read, I mean, he even says, historical people, Avalokiteshvara, whoever you want, the Buddha, you want to include Jesus, Mother Teresa, whoever you want to include as someone who's just as another person who just sends out that kind of love wherever. I think he says one meditator I know keeps a picture of Mr. Rogers right there. Just someone, people like that, just to think of, like, that kind of sense of, like, there are all these people there who are just sending, like, this very strong unconditional love out, sometimes, one-on-one to you, someone who's kind, but then also just that idea of seeing that. And the thing I liked about the poem and the way he reacted to it is that idea that this guy is probably kind like that to every person who walks into the store. It wasn't like, I think she has a sense, like, I'm not actually special, but I felt special. And there are many people who probably come in with a bad attitude, buy their stuff and leave with their bad attitude, because they never wake up to see. And, probably she was in this really tough spot where that's what she needed, and that's what she received. But it's kind of that piece of, there are people doing this for you all the time, but we're not always looking. We're often so busy, like, oh, that person just aggravated. They could have done 50 really wonderful things to you, and then they aggravate you one way. And I was just looking at you, and I remember he also said, you can include your pets.
Good. Simon. I forgot about Simon.
Simon. Yeah, include Simon. To include pets.
As a spiritual person.
No, just personal benefactor. Could be. Okay. If you think of he's maybe like an incarnation.
That's more simple, unconditional love.
It is, but it's still, I mean, it is that sense of like,
I'm very just, much so.
You know, I just want you to be happy because that makes me happy. So what I'm going to do is set up and we're going to listen to Pema lead us through sort of the whole meditation on this. I said, okay, do you think to record this onto there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's in the public domain. Or was this, oh, it's not. Oh,
yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
That's our huge audience is going to.
Well,
it's going out to.
It goes out.
Yeah.
Put it online. We'll see.
The sound. I was just going to ask, does anyone need it a little louder? Or sort of regular? Michael, would it help you if it's a little louder?
I'm very close to you. I'm fine.
But I'm going to put it on there, on here. Okay.
That will do.
Okay. And I checked it earlier.
We're going to start with a short sitting. It will be very short in this case. But if your mind is quite wild, just count the out-breaths up to 10 or 21 times. Your eyes should be open and the eye gaze slightly downward or more downward if you need. Now sitting in a relaxed way with the eyes open but slightly downward, recall your benefactors, those remembered from your personal life and revered teachers or spiritual beings. Envision their faces before you and open to receiving their love and their wish for your deepest well-being. Imagine their love like a soft shower of healing rays. Bathe your whole body and mind in that radiance, all the way down to your toes and fingertips. Bask in it. Relax in it. Heal in it. Receive it into your whole being. after a while, join your benefactors in their wish for you. You can verbalize this if you wish. May this one have deepest well-being. You could say your name if that helps. May this one have deepest well-being. Affirm this wish repeatedly while still accepting your benefactor's love even more deeply. Then just drop the visualization and relax into that loving luminosity. Enjoy just being at ease, relaxed, and complete. Just relax into that feeling of love and luminosity.
Any comments, thoughts, non-thoughts? Right, look at my students, I'm like, they don't want it. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or something.
Turn it back.
I think when I read it over today, the write-up, the chapter one, and all these memories started coming back of these people in my life at different points. So it's very interesting to sort of go back in time and think about people that have had that kind of impact in a way. Although it was harder in the exercise where it was more contained to... It seemed to be more of a jumble. I didn't really sort it out as much as I did earlier today, where I was really thinking about people. And one person I even looked up online. I was like, "Oh, what happened to him?" I think there's really a lot of depth to this. I didn't have as much ease at the end with just the sense of light or. You know, I didn't really connect to that too much, but more the relationship with these different people at different times of my life, earlier on mostly, but it's helpful.
So what is this luminosity? I mean, I don't think it's just sort of like some big bright light going off or something. It's more about, I think, a sense of just open ease and, feeling really moved or touched by the fact that so many people have been here for us, I mean, in so many different ways, and can't keep track of them all by any means. I mean, I think, just like you were bringing up today, just going through, like I used to work in bookstores, you know, and I met thousands of people, and it was just like all kinds of different ways of interacting occurred, and, you know, could go everywhere from like being really just like, you know, to some really amazing kind of... feeling of open heart, and I would start falling in love with all these women, for instance. It kind of drove me crazy for a while. I never would see them again, you know. but just that kind of, because it was kind of a sense of just open and, just this momentary kind of exchange, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. I have that feeling when I go to craft fairs, and you have to welcome people into your booth.
Right.
And you have that the storekeeper have, and just it's part of the business that you do. And it's fun, it's really fun.
Well, I just came back from a book fair, and both years, even when I didn't do well, I felt tremendous support of everybody's there somehow to make this really a good experience, and so there's this whole sense of support. People just come up and start smiling at you and acknowledging you on levels that, you know, I mean, it seems so trivial, but I mean, it all sort of makes this possible to really do something and feel like it's good. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate this organization because I feel like there are a lot of really positive energies in there. I've been to some book fairs where you're sitting around like, you know, scowling and waiting for the whole thing to get over. You know, nobody's buying from them. Irritated about that. You went, what are they doing there? But it just, this whole thing of giving naturally. And, speaking of this topic, I don't know if anybody's read it. The last Tilku Tundra book came out, Heart of Unconditional Love. Do you know about that?
No.
He was going around talking quite a bit about it, just feeling like this is really the most important thing that can happen in terms of Dharma.
What's it called?
The Heart of Unconditional Love. I'll see if I can find a copy and bring it in.
At the beginning of the exercise, one particular person came to mind right away who I hadn't thought of at all in years and years, and was my third grade teacher. And I certainly didn't make life easy for her, but she was unconditional, I would say. And then more people appeared, a camp counselor, other people, a girl who I knew in grade school, and so on. And they did start appearing more and more.
And I think what you said, Elise, is not everybody gets that at home. So that if you can identify these people in your life when you're younger who really made an impact, I mean, it's very special to have that group of people, or even if it's three or four that you can just think of. And oftentimes, at least I think, like even what you said, Michael, but it's a teacher. You know, that you remember an elementary school teacher that just made all the difference in your life, you know, or just rings really special to you. And then the other thing I thought about is just sort of back to the stores, like Hannaford's, you know, is our local grocery store. And, well, I don't know what your experience is, Roberta, but it's such a great place for experiencing what you're talking about, because a lot of it is really up to you, you know, too. If you go to with any of these supermarkets, you go up and you know, someone may look like they're just, you know, kind of doing rote behavior, which they are, or in a bad mood or whatever, but if you can open up to them, you know, you see a little bit of openness happens with them.
Yeah, if you're curious.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
A lot goes on at Hannaford. Wow.
A lot goes on.
Hannaford is just the nicest group of people working there. And I try to, I mean, it's at the end of my street, you know, it's like half a block. So I go there three or four times a week now. And, I'd like this, I'd like that. And I try to learn everybody's name and sometimes I get them wrong, but they're just... they're great, and it's people from all over the world. And when we were doing this exercise tonight, I kept, you know, I couldn't hold like a certain group. People kept popping up, you know. So my dad teaching me to swim, and I had such a horrible relationship. And then, but when I was a little girl, we were dog paddling, and it was, you know, just wonderful. And there were a lot of Girl Scout things. But when I was reading it earlier today, I couldn't distinguish, you know, there's like the ordinary benefactors and then the spiritual benefactors, and I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, it seemed like they were all spiritual. You know, it didn't seem, the Mother Teresa, and I could see Mr. Rogers, because I never saw it as a kid, but they had that special on recently that was so great, you know. My niece, when she was a little girl, used to kick her father out of the room during Mr. Rogers. Nobody was allowed to come in. That was her and him. Get out. No, go away. It was personal, and it was, you know, deep and so moving that it was, you know. But
we're too old.
Yeah, well, I saw it the other night. It was wonderful. It was great. He's a minister, actually. I didn't know that. I think I heard it. But the only, like, spiritual, I was thinking, well, like, you know, Mother Teresa and Jesus and Buddha and all these people, I was thinking, I mean, this sounds really dumb, but I was, what knocked me over when I was a young adult was the music of Bob Dylan. I mean, I just thought, what is this, the second coming, or, you know, something's happening. And, you know, you watch, there's that special on him. I'm a big PBS person. And someone said, well, he was ahead of Southern Exeter. I believe in giving credit where credit is due. He was just so full of the Holy Spirit, you could see it coming out of him. It wasn't so much like God touched him on the shoulder as much as he kicked him in the ass. And I think Joan Baez had referred to him as channeling, you know. Anyway, to me, this was like huge. It was kind of enormous. But it's, you know, when you start, it's like the number of people is just enormous.
I mean, that's what I mean, it was interesting because I even had people that were more recent in my life, and I was like, oh, wait, that person, like, I have this friend that I go to Star Island with, and I finally, like, it came to me, like, the first time I went, it was this really horrible rainy day, and it was, like, on this boat going out there.
and I didn't really know anyone. And these two people sort of said, well, come sit with us. And one of them is now this dear friend of mine who just saw like this new person who didn't know anyone and looked like she was a little seasick like they were, just needed to sit with people. And it was just that sort of like, and every year when she sees me, she's like, I'm so happy you're here. And you're like, what did I do? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, it's like I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And this person is so happy to see me. And it's this wonderful feeling. And what's interesting, so this is sort of like chapter one, mm-hmm. and there's this longer practice that's in later chapters and later on the CD. And the first part is this, where you receive the love. Then there's another part that's sort of just open awareness. Mm-hmm. And then the benefactors come behind you and are sending the light to you. And then you let it go through you out to other people. So mm-hmm. you get that sense of like, oh, how can I send out love? Oh, because mm-hmm. I got it. And that's kind of it comes through that. Mm-hmm. And that was something I had actually thought about when I used to do Tonglen. I thought, well, where does this come from? And I couldn't place where it came from. But I thought, well, there must be some spiritual being that's helping me have it, because how could I have that much kindness and love for other people? But this kind of makes it like, oh, like it's just mm-hmm. passing through mm-hmm. the way it passes through. And if you would see it, you know, that idea of noticing what's there. Like, oh, you've gotten all this love, and you could send it out, as opposed to, you know, that whole, I think, piece about when people do Tonglen, and they're like, well, but if I give it away, I won't have any. You know, this like, lack I'll have, as opposed to realizing, like, you get so much. Like, if you're just open to it, you get all this, and you could pass it along. I mean, it's not like you need to catch it and hold it in there for yourself. But we get that.
There's a lot.
But if you're not open to seeing, like, I'm always getting it, I could get more. I could go to the Hannafords 3 times a week. I go every day. Did you like to go every day when you look right down on Charles Street? Yeah. Did you go up to the Hannafords? Why not?
Every day.
It's got to go. Field trip.
Well, you look right there. See, Musi, it's a long trip.
So it seems like, you know, you do this meditation, you get all these benefactors that you've had in your whole life, and the main point of them there is to teach you how to be a benefactor.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're hanging out with us tonight.
Right.
No, I mean, that's...
And it's such a great example to see all these people and how they were kind to you, and then you can be kind to other people.
Yeah.
In some way that you want to.
Yeah, in a way that, and even that idea doesn't have to be someone who, like, you know, was your big brother and took, you know, like big brother, big sister kind of thing, and took you on field trips 50 times. It literally could just be, you know, someone who did this one kind thing.
Or smiled at you.
Smiled mm-hmm. at you and just
welcomed mm-hmm. you into their store.
Right. Even if they couldn't mm-hmm. speak to you. Done. I mean, I just love that poem. But yeah, no, I think it. I just love that piece.
I thought of Obama when I thought about a spiritual person.
Wow, well, that's good.
I don't know. It just kind of popped into my head because he's such a great role model, you know, in so many ways, and somebody that you just really, you know, just have so much respect for. And he's just, to me, he just seems like he's got so much wisdom as well. So, you know.
Michelle, too.
Yeah, and Michelle as well. Yep.
Yeah.
But I find, like, Muffy brought up something about this, too, is that just if you can, I mean, it has to be authentic, but, like, I was thinking about how, you know, I take Uber a lot, and there's always people from all over the world who are Uber drivers, and I'm personally very interested in where they came from and you know, their background. I mean, I'm just interested in that sort of thing. And it's amazing how you can just sort of develop a, you know, a relationship and which seems very, there's a real connection very quickly, you know, and then they start to open up, and the next thing you know, you're just having a really nice, rich conversation with somebody that's has a lot of personal elements to it, too. You know, and then also by the end, by the time they drop me at Logan or wherever I'm going, you know, you just, you almost feel like you're friends. You know, it's nice. So I guess in one way my point with that, too, is that I feel like, you know, to give love or receive it, you have to feel like it's really, you mean it. You know, it's not like just something you're trying to do. You know, if that makes sense. It's got to come from a place of authenticity, I guess.
Well, I think it has to, I mean, this opens your heart, and then you're like, oh, I could have my heart open to the next person, as opposed to, I have to be careful because everybody else is a bad person, you know, that which is kind of how we're trained in some ways to be, and what many people live their lives as.
Right, to shut down.
I'm wondering, though, if this is one of those things where if you don't feel it as much as you know you want, but if you try to do it, you end up feeling it more. It grows, you know, becomes authentic. Mm-hmm. You try to be friendly.
Yeah, it just becomes a way of life.
The Buddhist group just walked out of Hannaford's.
Get to our walking meditation.
And homeless people are taking all the vanilla extract off the shelf.
Well, it's interesting because I was in Adam Tupton's book. He actually was talking about, he said, this whole idea of, he said, see if you can walk around and just love everyone. You know, send this loving look out to everyone. He says, but you should be careful where you do that in America because sometimes people take it the wrong way and don't like it. But it's very funny about it. It's like you can't, maybe you need to think about where you do it. But, you know, as much as possible, just do that. Like, just bring that with you where you go instead of your usual grumpy self. It was really interesting.
Well, even grumpy can be love.
Grumpy can be love.
Yes, my brother had a T-shirt. It was probably worn out, but it said, I feel grumpy today. And he said people were so nice to him. Everybody was nice to him. It was magic.
To me, it reminds me of the importance of that kind of... The situation where we can interact with people as opposed to being stuck in a car for hours every day or something, you know, there's a sense of when there is the opportunity to actually be with people, then there's the potential. But we're in many situations we're more isolated, which I can see that that's also why there's more of a feeling of course, isolation and shut down because you don't really have the opportunity except in your mind. But then there's no energy exchange where you were talking about Uber, you know, there's an energy exchange. Mm-hmm. Or taking the bus, you know, right. I've told people to do Tonglen on the bus. You know, you can ride home on the bus and do Tonglen, you know. There's a chance to be part of a situation, whatever it is.
I was walking to Shaw's, which is a short, about 15-minute walk or 10-minute walk from where I live. Then on the way back, the homeless people were sitting on the bench, and I could not walk along the path in front of them because they were feeding the ducks and geese, and the path was filled with animals. And one of them said just very sweetly to me, we're feeding our children, please just go behind. And it was said very sweetly and lovingly to me.
Nice.
That's nice.
But I think it's interesting what you said, Emily, because I think when we spend so much time when we're home and like our interactions are through the computer, you can't do this.
No, there's no energy.
Because there's not there's no energy. You don't you don't really know like even how people feel. You know, and most people what they write, they're not even like I'm always like I'll write something, then I'll read it and I'll go tone erase it or rewrite it. But most of the time people aren't even putting much energy into that, so it's sort of like whatever comes out of my fingers goes out, and I don't know, like, you know, other than I might guess from something, you know, they're in a bad mood, they're in a good mood, but there's not that opportunity. Whereas walking to that man's store, and like she said, they couldn't talk, but the smile and just the way he treated her was so powerful, and that's, I think that's a piece that's dangerous about the world now, is that we don't do that as much.
And you can see why, as people age and they're more isolated in home and they're alone, I mean, when you go and meet with people that are in homes, and that they're just more and more cut off from that exchange, and why that's so harmful, and it causes such a decline for people when they're isolated. It's really unhealthy.
Well, we've been studying Mahayana for a while here.
Yeah.
And, you know, practice itself is already good. And it allows people to be alone and not feel like that's a curse or a, has to be a disadvantage. I mean, because, you know, if we really take the practice to heart, it brightens things up. And then that brightening can... We you know, whatever kind of interaction you have can become brightness, the expression of that brightness, or an acknowledgement of it. Whether the other people who you interact with know it or not, it doesn't matter. So I think it starts with us, you know, really, in terms of being willing to be open and warm. And we do that, we can do that by being friends to ourselves and actually learning how to, like, you know, just simply let things get out of the way that are hindering us from really coming through genuinely. So it's definitely relevant to what we're doing in terms of our practice.
And I think we really experience it here, you know, in the group, you know, with friends and then teachers, you know, and with the teachers on a different level, you know, very much a different level, you know, more, again, spiritual benefactors as but I mean I feel it when I come in just on a Thursday night that you know that this is a semi unconditional group.
Not too critical.
I won't say completely,
but it's a community.
But I mean, we're trying. Yeah.
Well, I love that people, you know, help each other and share and and do things together. And yeah, I think it's wonderful. It's a community.
Yeah,
it's a sangha.
That's based on kindness. I mean, you know, it can be communities about all sorts of things, but how many times is there a community based on being kind? It's pretty rare.
Yeah. So it's neat because she talks about this was the recordings are from a like a several week retreat she did on for Mashables. And she talked about, like, can we create a community of kindness here? And it, because if we can't do it here, how do we expect the world to be a kind place? If we can't on retreat here, like, you don't have anything you have to do. Like, just make it a kind place. So I haven't listened. I think she stops talking about it as much. They have fewer recordings of her telling people how to be nice to each other, even though you're not talking.
Are you listening to this in the car?
No, because it's mostly things like this. Where it's
yeah, you can't do it that way.
Really?
Well, I listened to this. I listened to a few, and then there was one. I was like, well, it's almost done. I'll listen. And then I like said, I have to go in. It was at work. And then I like realized there were like 15 more minutes of mostly silence. I was like, I would have been very late to listen. Now I listen.